Bleeds Podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dale.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast, episode number 237. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We're coming to you Sunday night after back-to-back losses for the Leafs. Saturday in St. Louis, Sunday in Minnesota.
Not the best.
The time changed.
Oh.
And it kind of fucked me up.
I forgot all about it, man. Woke up today, it was like...
You didn't swing your clock back?
No, I did not. I'm looking at the clock on the wall, and then I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, what? I completely fucking forgot. I'm like, I didn't know what was going on. So I'm like, yeah. Anyway, so everybody out there, in case you forgot, you got to get that clock in your hand. You grab it tight, and you grip it, and you swing it. You swing it hard for an hour. You grip your clock tight in your hand, and you swing it hard for an hour. And that's
right.
Fixes everything, I guess. So
it sure I hate it.
Daylight savings or whatever they call this time of year, where you lose an hour. I hate it. Like it's
the day before, you always kind of think in your brain, you're always like, oh, I get an extra hour of sleep tonight. Everything's going to be great. Oh, you know, like I'm watching the game, the St. Louis game, and then it ends and you're like, hey, it's only 8:45, really.
Yeah. Yeah,
because the clocks are going back. But then today you're like, it's a 25-hour day. And you're like, what time is it? It feels like it's 9 o'clock. And like, yeah, it's 5:30.
Yeah. And come, well, around 5:30, dark.
Yeah. You have no idea what's going on.
So I'm just like, oh, my God. Yeah. Hate it. Can't stand it. Know what else I can't stand? The Leafs play right now. Not a big fan overall, Chad. Not a big fan. 4-1 win over the Seattle Kraken. Since we've done our last podcast, a 4-2 loss to St. Louis, and now a 2-1 overtime loss to the Minnesota Wild. Quickly, before we get going, those green Wild jerseys, man, love them.
You do?
Oh, I love them. Did you notice that they had like the three stars down the side of their pants?
I did, yeah.
Oh, I love that. As a throwback to the Minnesota North Stars, absolutely love everything about that. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the green and white Minnesota jerseys. Love them. But and the team too. Hell of a hockey team. Minnesota is cooking, dude.
Yeah.
Like they're playing really, really well. So yeah, like I don't know. I where do you want to start? I've got a bit of a hot take off the top, but where do you want to start?
I mean, let's just hit your hot take. We could go back to the St. Louis game. We could go back to the Kraken game.
I don't want to go back to the Kraken game. What's the point? Seattle sucks. So
yeah, like, I think we should go back to the St. Louis and then get into the Wild. And then let's talk about, you know, what's going on.
You beat Seattle on home ice 4-1. Good job, boys. Pat on the back. Like, yeah, that's what you should do. Take care of business when the Kraken come into town. They're not that good of a hockey team, I don't think, this year. But my take here is that they lost both games to St. Louis. Like, yeah. I thought, and they looked good in the first period on Saturday night. And then in the second period, they just completely fucking fell asleep. Like, I don't like how they lost both games against their new coach's former team. I don't like it. It drives me nuts, man. Like, what does that, like, how
and
is
the
that
way,
happen?
The way they lost.
The way they lost. Like, who does that? How does that happen? Like, I personally think, I want to hear your opinion on it, but I personally think that it's a terrible message and it's a terrible sign of things to come. These are bigger games early in the year. You're playing your new coach's former team two times early in the season. You drop both games. I think it's a bad look. It's a bad message. And I honestly, for some foreshadowing here, it's just not a good sign of things to come. Maybe that's too hot of a hot take. What are your thoughts on it?
For me, it's the way that they've lost. Like, you can lose the two games to St. Louis. If you played kind of like you did tonight against Minnesota, it's a tight game. It's a goaltender's duo. You lose in overtime, whatever. But you get shelled the first game. And then 9 days later, you get a chance to redeem yourself. And you shit the bed again.
Yeah.
Your power play goes for a shit like it's been doing all season. Everything. You just don't show up. I don't get it.
I don't understand. I know, like how it just, I don't, me neither. Like I'm lost as to why does this happen? Why? Like, I'm lost for words. I really am. Like, I don't, those two St. Louis games in particular, like, how do you let that happen? After what happened at home, how do you go in there on Saturday night and not play your best game of the season? Like, are they just like, is the Berube message just like lost on these guys already? Are they over it already? Like, how do you explain it?
I wouldn't say they're over it already. I don't know if they've received the message yet. Like, that's the way they're kind of playing. They're playing like a team that's in transition from how they used to play to how they're supposed to be playing right now. But it's just, it's so frustrating because we talked about it in the last podcast. This isn't just these two St. Louis games. This goes back the entire time this core has been together. When these games come where they should redeem themselves, we said it last one. You're playing a team that knocked you out of the playoffs last year. Don't show up.
No.
You're playing your new coach's former team. Don't show up. Well, guess what? You're playing them again. Time to redeem yourself.
It's crazy.
Don't show up. What is it with these guys that don't show up for these games?
It's a bad look, dude. Like, just foreshadowing, I'm telling you right now, it's a bad look and it's a bad sign because they just don't seem to fucking get it. They just can't get it.
But how long do we keep spinning the tires on this?
Well, they probably should have stopped spinning the tires about 2 or 3 years ago. But here we are again. Like, a lot of blame here. Management thinking that they can just like bring the same group back and Berube will fix it. Okay. I don't think there's a fucking Scotty Bowman couldn't fix it. Like, it's unfixable. Like, it's just, you can't fix it, man. Like, I'm telling you right now, it's not, these guys are just not, the way the team is currently constructed, it just doesn't look, and long season here, I know I'm ranting off the top here a little bit, long season, maybe they'll figure it out, but like, why would I think they're going to figure it out? Because Berube's behind the bench? No. Like, what would give anybody the impression that, oh yeah, these guys will be just fine, they'll get it figured out? And I'm talking like, winning like a championship, not get it figured out, you know, they start playing better hockey, whatever, winning, like the team actually fucking winning. I don't know, dude, it's just, it's very frustrating. Any more on that, or let's talk about something else that's very frustrating, the power play, even though they got a goal, but any more on that, or let's want to go to the power
play? I will just say this, the bright light that I have is that the media is doing what the Toronto media does. Like always, they're taking things like ice time, things like that. They're breaking it into big stories. And I'm really liking the way Berube is handling it. He's basically just like, I don't give a shit. Like, you want more ice time, you earn more ice time.
Yeah.
I do like the message that he's sending. And I do like the way he wants the team to play. But I'm with you. Is this foreshadowing that they just can't do it?
Okay, well, since you already brought that up, I was going to bring this up later, but I might as well bring it up now. So you're talking about Nylander, right? Like, his ice time was down, and like, he's talking to the media, getting asked questions. And
of course, in Toronto, it becomes a big story.
Sure. Like, his ice time's down, whatever. Like, it was down. I don't know what his on ice was tonight, but anyway, regardless, Berube's basically like, well, like, you want to play more, like, play better, basically. Like, he didn't. Those weren't his exact words, but you know,
that was the message he sent.
The accountability thing, like, where do you go to accountability if you don't go to the top four guys?
Right.
It's got to start at the top, man. You can't be ragging on Robertson and McMahon and expect, like, what the fuck, man? The top, the head of the snake down. Like, you got to talk those four guys in particular. Like, if it's not working, be honest about it. Don't just be fucking Sheldon Keefe about it. Well, even Keefe, like, he would hold Nylander accountable to a point at times. So I don't have a problem with it. I like it. Like, I want more of that, actually. Like, I still think it was a little too nonchalant. Well, in the St. Louis game on Saturday, I think he sat for like 5 minutes in the third period or something.
He did,
play him. So I don't know. I like it. I want to see more of it. Like, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I get what you're saying, to see more of it. Because it kind of feels like, even going back to Keith, it's always Nylander who gets the shit end of the stick.
Yeah.
It's never like Marner or Tavares, Matthews. They never see the bench.
Well, especially Mitch and Austin. They free pass all day long.
Nylander always seems to be the whipping boy when it comes to things like that. But I did like the message that Berube was sending. And I did like that he's kind of trying to strip away the whole idea that it's the core four or five, and then the rest of the team. He's trying to break it down and be like, we're a team.
Yeah,
top to bottom. I get it. He needs those guys to perform because that's the way the team's built. They're top heavy. They need to perform or this team sucks shit. But I like that he's just like, I don't care. Like if Bobby McMahon's going more than you, I'll play Bobby McMahon.
I like that too. I like that too. But I don't think the fans will ever get away from the core four until the core four is no more. How did you like that?
Holy shit. Did you just come up with that? Yeah. Is that off the top of your head?
Random, dude. Random.
Can you say it again? Did you forget it already?
The fans will never, Berube can say it all he wants. The fans will never believe it. The fans will always point to the core four until the core four is no more.
Holy. Yeah. Girth. That was a haiku.
I know. Anyway, power play. Here we go. 0-2 in the win against Seattle. 0-4 in the loss against the Blues. 1-2 in the loss against the Wild. So
things are looking up.
1-8 this week. I'm not going season statistics here because I just can't do it anymore. But, you know, they got a goal tonight on the power play. I guess that's a positive if you want to look at it that way. I was saying this for weeks, like five-man unit of forwards. Forget a defenseman back there. More on that later. And that's what they did. And they finally got it to hook. They finally got it to hook up for one. But like, you know, they were talking a bit about like positive. I just was quickly before we started recording this, I was like watching some stuff on just the post game. And they were like trying to look for positives. And like, as the power play being like, well, they finally got a goal on the power play. Like, are you fucking kidding me? They finally got a goal. Like, what do you want? A fucking gold star for burying a fucking power play goal in eight opportunities this week against three different fucking teams? What, like, what, you're going to fucking circle jerk, boys, because you scored a fucking power play goal? Like, what are we talking about? One fucking power play goal this week? And it's like, well, let's look at the positives. They finally got a power play goal? Come on.
I know.
Get fucking serious.
I know. I was reading a lot about the power play and listening to people talk about it this week and the excuses that these guys were given. And I was like, you're 32nd in the league. The San Jose Sharks have a better power play than you.
Are they dead last? Are they dead last? They must.
Well, I don't know. They scored one tonight, so maybe they moved out. But they were dead last in the league. Their power play was shooting at just a little over 8%. It was dead last in the league.
I don't think the Sharks have won a game. Last time I checked, the Sharks hadn't won a game. Maybe they have now in the last couple of games, but they were literally like 0-4 on the season.
But their power play was clicking at a higher rate than the Toronto Maple Leafs.
They've got a better power play than the Leafs. That tells you something.
Well, what I'm saying is like, yeah, and also you have Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, John Tavares, Morgan Rielly, Ekman Larson, Matthew Nyes. You have all these guys and you're 32nd in the league. What's going on? Like, what's going on? On skill alone, you should at worst be middle of the pack.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man. But I will say this.
It's like, a mental thing. In that St. Louis game, did it not feel to you that when they went on the power play, they almost looked like, I don't want to go on.
Oh, for sure. Mental. Dude, there's so many mental hurdles with this team. It's hard to fathom. It really is.
Yeah.
Just the playoff losses, the power play in the fucking tank. Like, there's a lot of mental hurdles to overcome with these guys. Anyway, the five forwards thing, I did like it. I wanted to see that for a while. Mitch on the point, I like it. I think he's their best bet. Their best option back there, even though he doesn't have like a hard slap shot, he's got a decent enough shot that he can just get it through traffic on net.
And he's creative and he moves.
He's creative. So I want to see more of it. Like, just go back to it. Like, you finally got a goal, nothing to be proud of, but you finally did bury one. Go back to it. Boston on Tuesday. I want to see that. Matthews not shooting the puck. Have you noticed this? Power play, 5-on-5 play. He's not ripping it. Like, remember, am I the, like, you have to see what I'm seeing here. Like, he would step, like, how many times you see him do the little drag drop thing, like rip it on net? He's not shooting the fucking puck. What is this all about? What's going on with this guy?
Injury? Like not maybe the wrist again?
Oh God.
Not feeling 100%? I don't know. And he's even when he does shoot it, it's not the same.
No.
Like he's not, it just doesn't have the same feel.
Do you think the C is an issue? Like, do you think
it's I don't think so.
Like, you don't think that's in his mind at all?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the C is in his mind at all. Maybe a little bit because I think Berube is probably a big personality. Like, I think he's a simplistic person when it comes to his messaging and getting his game across. But like we've said, he will murder you.
Oh,
he will absolutely murder you.
Yeah, he'll kill you.
And one of the captain's biggest jobs is you're sort of the voice of the team to talk to the coach. And that could be a little extra stress. But at the same time, you're Auston Matthews.
Yeah.
Like, who cares if you have a little, if you have the C on your jersey? You're still, talent-wise, one of the best goal scorers. Why are you not scoring? When's the last time he had a 5-on-5 goal? Can you remember? It's got to be 7, 6, 7, 8 games, 9 games. I don't know. It's a long time.
Yeah. He doesn't look like he still looks like Auston Matthews, but it's not his goal scoring threat. Does not seem to be at the level that it has been in previous years.
His whole offensive game doesn't seem to be a threat.
That's big time concerning. Big
like
time.
Matthew Nyes is looking great.
Yeah.
Marner seems to be sort of coming back into like he's doing a lot of the same Marner things. I know you hate the way Marner plays perimeter hockey, but he is creative and doing stuff. But Matthews just seems lost. Not lost. He's just not himself. Something's not right.
Something's not right. But I think this team, so just looking at this week alone here, Chad, like, you know, a win against Seattle, a team you should beat, a loss against St. Louis, a game you should have been up for and you were in the first period and then you pissed the rest of it away. And then tonight, okay, yeah, you're in the game. You get a point. You get a power play goal. I know they're going to be taking positives all over the place here on the flight home, all over the place, positive night. But you fucking lost in overtime to a good hockey team. But I think, to me, very mediocre team. That's what the Leafs are right now. So a possible 1, 2, 3, 4, possible 6 points available this week. They got 3. They got 3. Yep. And that's, I think, exactly what this team is. A very mediocre team. Middle of the pack, brother. That's what I see these guys as. Am I wrong?
Well, that's how they're playing.
Like, does anything stand out to you as like, are you watching this team thinking like nothing even really makes me excited when I'm watching them. I'm just kind of like waiting for them to like, oh fuck, they won't score on the power play again here. Like,
no, I said that a few podcasts ago that the way that Berube has them playing is kind of boring hockey. Last few years, we've had a lot of run and gun, a lot of puck possession, a lot of high offense, big tempo. He likes to play more of a cycle game. And I felt like at times we've seen it where they've just been dominant. Like they are hemming the other team in. The other team cannot get out. They cannot get a hold of the puck. But then they just stop. They just absolutely stop playing that way. And that's it. Game over. And they don't seem to give a shit to get it back on track.
No, I know. Like, I don't mind boring hockey if you win. No. If you win,
exactly.
It's not that. It's just like I'm watching them I'm not feeling it. Like I'm just kind of like lately
it feels like they're just stopping, like they're just quitting.
There just seems like something seems off. I can't pinpoint exactly what, but like other than Nyes, has anything stood out for you? Okay, Stolarz. Well, yeah. I'll get to the goalies at the end. I'll get to the goalies just before we go, but. Stolarz, obviously, but keep him out of the equation. Defensemen, forwards, I mean, I guess mainly the forwards. Like, there are some positives. Tanev, Ekman Larson, like, there's some positives there. But have you been like, what? Nyes, okay? But other than him, have you been like, wow, like, look at this guy, or look at what they're doing here? Or like, it's kind of been like, what are they doing?
It's small things. Yeah. Like you say, it's just been small things like, oh, Ekman Larson's a good signing. Oh, Tanev blocks a lot of shots. Really like that. Stolarz looks amazing.
Yeah.
That's a good signing. But you're right. No one else has just fucking flown out of the rink. And you're like, wow, look at that motherfucker.
No, like there's just, yeah, not enough standouts for me, I guess. But I don't know. The PK has been good, actually. I will give them that. I think they are overall better defensively, but it's just, it's not really paying off right now. So you want me to go like bombard you with a couple things and then you just take it from here? I'm going to go boom, 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 boom. And then you just give me your thoughts on all this shit.
Go easy on me.
As to why they're kind of where they are, which is, I see them as middle of the pack. Do they make the playoffs? Probably. Not for sure. I think they probably have good enough goaltending that they will, but you never know what's going to happen here. I can't say for sure right now that this team is a playoff team. I don't know. But here's what I can say for absolute sure, and that's that they don't have a real number one defenseman. They don't have a second line center. Their third line looks like they are never going to score a goal the entire season. And the fourth line is really doing what? What's the fourth line doing? What's Ryan Reeves bringing to the table? Like, the fourth line can have heavy shifts, but overall.
Well, the fourth line popped in a goal against St. Louis.
Okay.
To bring them back into the game.
Lorenz.
Yeah. Great. I don't have many problems with the fourth line because it's the fourth line.
Okay.
As long as you're not getting scored on and you're having good up-tempo shifts, I'm okay with that. The third line is a huge problem.
Oh my God, the third line. It's ridiculous. What do you think? No number one D. I know they try to make Morgan into a number one D. Well, guess what, folks? Newsflash. He's not a number one defenseman. He's just not. On this team, he is, but he's not. He's not a real number one D. He never has been, and he never will be. Yep. And the second line center thing, they don't have a second line center because it's not Tavares anymore.
They can't. They can't until JT's contract comes up. I mean, maybe at the trade deadline, you might be able to find someone, trade for something if you have the cap room to do it. But you're paying JT to be your second line center, and he's at the end of his contract and he can't do it. So you just have to kind of make shift with this. There's just no cap room, and who's going to do it other than JT? Unless you make a big trade. So I mean, but the third line thing, I don't care if you have to dig into the Marlies or make a minor trade to just get a different winger or something, but I'm with you. If they don't start popping in goals, and you don't want to blame them because, hey, Austin Matthews isn't popping in goals.
No.
So, but at the same time, yeah, the third line is absolute shit.
Like, I would like to see them go back to Domi with Nylander and McMahon. I thought they had some really strong games as a line. And then I like I'm going to get to Pacioretty in a second here because I'm very impressed. I wouldn't call him a standout, but I think Pacioretty's play has been very strong. The physical element he's bringing to the table and just his he's just such a fucking smart hockey player. He's in the right position all the time. He rarely ever makes a mistake. Big fan of Pacioretty. Like, I've turned the page on Pacioretty. I didn't even want them to give him a PTO. And now I'm like, I'm loving the fucking guy, what he's bringing to the table. But him, Pacioretty, Tavares, and Robertson, Holmberg, however, that should be the third line. I want to see them go back to Domi, Nylander, and McMahon.
And they might.
And they should. There's no reason for them not to. Like, I mean... there's going to be, I think, a lot of mixing and matching here, except for Mitch and Austin and Nyes. That seems to be like he's not going to touch it because he loves Nyes and he loves the other two guys no matter what they're doing out there. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Like, what do you think? Like, do you think it's like,
I think it's possible that they do make the change and they try. I'm with you. They're not going to break up Matthews, Nyes, and Marner.
And Pacioretty too. Pacioretty.
Oh, Pacioretty. I said I love the PTO when they signed him. Because I knew, like I said, I knew this guy could put up points. And this guy was a hell of a hockey player and a smart hockey player. Didn't know, like, he's throwing hits out there every fucking shift. Did not know Max Pacioretty had that in the bag.
No. Well, he didn't. He's kind of bringing, like, he's bringing a physical aspect that he kind of, like, didn't really before.
Well, he probably wants to stay in the lineup.
For sure. But that's a little scary too, because like how injury prone he is, and he's like more of a physical player now than he's ever been. So,
but
a little,
I mean, scary. He knows his body better than anyone, and if he's able to do it, let him do it.
I bet you. Yeah, go ahead.
No, where are you going to say ice is it down?
No, I bet you he gripped his clock hard last night, and he probably swung that thing for an hour straight. An hour straight. Max Pacioretty, my goodness. He is a hard clock whipper.
He is a hard clock
whipper. He couldn't wait to get his hands on that thing and whip it around.
That reminds me of something someone sent me, but I won't say it. I won't say it. It was a clip from an 80s porn movie.
Oh, maybe you should say it.
Should I?
Why not?
It was like maybe late 70s, early 80s porn movie. And this woman's laying on the bed. Someone sent me this clip because it's just hilarious. And the guy's, he's just going to town and he's making a noise. He's like, and she's like, fuck me. Fuck me. Fuck me hard. Fuck me. And he's like, I am fucking you, bitch. I am fucking you, bitch. He's like crying.
Oh man.
Oh, it's so good. Okay. You have to, it's the visual too. You have to see it because those 70s, 80s porn movies.
Oh yeah.
They're the best. So, and the music's so loud in those.
Oh yeah.
The editing, it's like all music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's crazy.
I thought it was hilarious.
I am not a fan. Like, I'm so glad they did away with that. Every now and then I will come across a porno flick where it's still got the music playing and I hate it. Like, I am not like, I want that music. I get it as like an intro or whatever. But once you start getting down to it, I want that music out of there immediately. Yeah.
Or immediately. Like bare minimum, like level one, you know, where you can't really hear.
I can't even do that, man. Like when it's go time, the music stops. That's it. That is it. It's got to stop.
Well, this, if you like the 70s and 80s, they turn it up full blast. And they just leave it there. So the people have to scream to get over top of the music. It's so annoying.
Anyway. Okay. So we talked about Pacioretty. We're liking his game. Nylander, ice time down. We talked about that. We talked about the third line looking like it, the way it's currently constructed. Holmberg, healthy scratch tonight. Robertson, drew back in. But Holmberg, Robertson, Domi, McMahon, however you want to construct that fourth or that third line. It's not, I don't like it. However
it's
you want
to work.
No, I don't like it. I do not like it. But let's go out on goaltending here. So Wall, I don't have a problem with the goaltending. I think Wall was good in the Seattle game. I think he was good in the Blues game, even though they lost. I don't think any of the goals were his fault. And Stolarz lets in one tonight, the overtime winner on a breakaway or 2-on-0, whatever.
Can't he let in one that went off his own teammate's stick.
100%. So I think the goaltending probably was the best part about this week. I think Wall rebounded nicely off of his first game where he looked real shaky. Now he looks like the health thing. Like I'm prove it. We'll see how long he can last for, but he looks like, okay, he's back. He's playing games. He looks like the Joseph Wall that we've seen previously. If we can get that guy to stay healthy and he can play that type of hockey, I do feel strong about their goaltending duo. I don't think either one of them were at fault for the losses this week. And I don't know, what do you think the plan is? Or what did you think of their play? And what do you think the plan is going forward here?
I agree with you. I thought Wall bounced back pretty good. I mean, he was good in the St. Louis game. It wasn't his fault that they lost the game. But he didn't play like Stolarz did tonight in Minnesota. No. So to me, I am totally comfortable with the goaltending, but Stolarz is your number one. So Tuesday, it's Stolarz and then.
So do you think, I don't disagree with that. Yeah, for sure. They gave Wall two games in a row. That might have something to do with like the St. Louis thing, like his hometown, whatever. But do you think that there's an opportunity here for one of these guys? Let's just say Stolarz. Like, I agree with you. Stolarz on Tuesday, for sure. He's not the reason they lost this hockey game. Wall wasn't the reason they lost to the Blues either.
No, but he Stolarz was better out of the two over the weekend.
100%. It's Stolarz and Ned against the Bruins on Tuesday for me. 100%. But do you think there's an opportunity here for one of these guys to put a string of games together? Or do you think they want, like, neither one of these guys has started a lot of games in a season, like whatever. Like, so do you not think their plan is, it's going to just rotate no matter what? Like, you might get two or three games in a row, but then the other guy's playing no matter what. Do you not think?
Maybe. I think if, okay, let's say Let's say they beat Boston on Tuesday and Stolarz, you know, he plays like he did tonight. They win 2-1, 3-1. Then you have to give him the start again on Thursday.
It's a back to, I don't think they play Thursday. I think it's Tuesday. I can't remember. I think it's Tuesday, Friday, Saturday this week, I want to say.
So then he gets the start on Friday.
That might be wrong. I don't know.
And then because it's a back-to-back, you're right. No, you're right. It's Tuesday against the Bruins, Friday against the Red Wings. So I would play Stolarz. If he shits the bed, then I go back to Wall. Like, I am trying to get one of them to take the ball and run with it here.
It doesn't seem like Stolarz is going to be shit in the bed anytime soon. He just seems
If he plays good, then he gets to start again on Friday. I think he's earned it, hasn't he? Like, if you're going just by this season, he's been the better of the two.
I don't disagree, but like Wall now is like putting some games together where he's looked pretty good. You're not going to want to give him a long stretch.
Had tightness and you couldn't go.
No.
So you're second string right now. He's going to get his chance.
He's going to get,
especially the way this fucking team's playing.
I just think I don't disagree with you, but I just see it being more of a split. It'll be a couple games here for you, a couple games here for you, a couple games here for you, a couple games here for you. That's how I see it going, but you never know.
Even if they didn't have back-to-backs, you would say,
yeah.
So if they played Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Stolarz played Tuesday, Thursday, won both games, Wall would play Saturday.
I believe, 100%. And it's November, we'll bow tie this baby here, but it's November 3rd now as we're recording this. I'm still predicting there will be a Matt Murray sighting.
Oh, Jesus.
Before Christmas. I've got it marked. It's going to happen sometime between, that's 2 full months, man. Matt Murray will be here sometime before Christmas. You heard it here.
That's not 2 full months.
Well, close. Close. All of November. Not 2 full months, but close.
Close.
Anyway, that's it, man. That's it for tonight.
Well, you heard it here. Murdog will appear before Christmas. It'll be a Christmas miracle, Clark.
Christmas miracle.
All right. For the Tip It Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget to follow us on social media at the Tip It Maple Leafs podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can follow us on TikTok at Tip It Podcast and Twitter or X, Tip It Pod. Email us, tipitpodcast@gmail.com. When you're on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe, and leave a comment. Let us know how it's going. And don't forget, like Dale said, if for some reason you didn't realize that the clock swung back, grab a hold of that clock and swing it hard for 1 hour backwards.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. And make sure you do it counterclockwise.
That's right.
Because if you do it clockwise, you'll fuck up everything.
Yes, exactly.
All right. You do counterclockwise later. Anything else?
No, man.
Well, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And we will.
Hey, listen, boys, let's get this power play going in the right direction. Maybe we can start getting this thing going in the right direction. Wouldn't that be nice? Holy smokes. The Boston Bruins in town Tuesday night should be.
Can we fucking beat the Bruins? Can we do it?
Just do it. Bruins in town Tuesday night. We'll be back after that game to break it all down. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you later.
Catch you later.
You're listening to the Tip-In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dale.